Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast. It's the 30th of April, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank, and CJ Miller and Gary Truitt check in with the news today, including what to expect for animals at county fairs in Indiana due to avian influenza, and a preview of Gary's new podcast that takes a closer look at health benefits of seed oils. The HAT podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says it could be a mostly dry Wednesday, but that will change starting tonight. And the Tuesday corn, bean, and wheat markets liquidated, first led lower by beans, but then corn futures at the close. Arlen Suderman has some thoughts. He's our market analyst today on the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
Considering a career in agriculture, Michigan State University's Institute of Agricultural Technology offers in-state tuition rates for students from Indiana and beyond. With programs like Ag Operations, Forest Technology, and Food Processing, MSU IAT prepares career-ready graduates in 2 years. Our certificate programs are designed to launch your students' future in agriculture. Take the first step at iat.msu.edu.
Answering questions about bird flu and showing poultry and dairy cattle at your county fair this year, and setting the record straight on seed oils. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today News. Well, county fair season is just around the corner, and one of the most asked questions this year has been, will poultry and dairy cattle at fairs and exhibitions be restricted this year, given the number of bird flu cases across the state earlier in the year?
Basically, if we have disease occurrence within a county, we really want to limit the movement of birds in or within that county.
And that's Dr. Kyle Shipman, state veterinarian with the Indiana State Board of Animal Health. And even though there had been a number of positive bird flu cases all around the state during the first 3 months of the year, many of those initial control areas or surveillance zones set up by state officials have since expired.
The Board of Animal Health does not intend to change our policy, but we are asking poultry exhibitions to really limit their commingling events, specifically those in counties that have an active control area specific to highly pathogenic avian influenza, right? So what we're asking is, if there's a current outbreak in a county, we really just don't want poultry commingling events or exhibition events to occur in that county.
As of late April, only Jay and Randolph counties are still impacted.
We're hoping that those counties won't be impacted much longer, as those sites that are related to those counties being impacted are progressing through that recovery process.
So what advice does Dr. Shipman have for producers as they gear up for showing poultry and dairy cattle at the county fairs this year?
If you think your animal's sick, keep it at home. But also, to that same point, if your animal does get sick while at the fair, get it back home, right? We don't create hospital pens at fairs. We want to really limit that impact to both other animals and potentially humans, and want folks to get those sick animals home as soon as possible if they were to get ill while at the exhibition event. If they are coming back home, keep those animals separate once the show season is over for the year.
Check out my full conversation with Dr. Shipman. It's at HoosierAgToday.com. Well, you've heard some folks out there attacking seed oils here recently, and that's why it's the topic of this month's WTF podcast, What's Threatening Farmers? As Gary Truitt reports, misinformation and junk science are both putting the soybean oil and corn oil markets at risk.
Media reports and social media influencers have caused consumers to question the use of seed oils like soybean, corn, canola, and others. Some food processors have switched from vegetable oil to beef tallow, The Secretary of Health and Human Services has actually questioned the benefits of using seed oil. But as Sarah Stolter, Wisconsin farmer and member of the United Soybean Board, points out, there is plenty of solid scientific evidence to prove that seed oils are actually good for us.
It's been shown to help lower bad LDL cholesterol. It also helps to reduce inflammation. And there's also some really good research that says it helps to reduce chronic diseases such as type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular disease.
With 45% of soy oil used in the food sector, this is an important issue for soybean producers.
You know, sometimes as farmers, when we think about soybeans, we're thinking of it more in terms of animal feed. And we don't realize what the impact would be on banning seed oils or banning soybean oil in the food market. I think it's really critical that we think about the importance that soybean oil and seed oils in general play in our agricultural market.
Stelter says something else consumers need to consider is that soy oils have far fewer environmental consequences than some other oils, like palm oil.
Here in this country, we are able to raise our soybeans very sustainably. Most farmers are really into providing the best that they can for their soils and also for the environment. And so in this whole greater scheme of things, we are able to really provide a valuable, healthy product in a way that we are helping the environment as opposed to damaging it.
The United Soybean Board has launched a campaign to get the true facts out about seed oil. Learn more at the latest WTF podcast, available now at HoosierAgToday.com and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app. I'm Gary Truitt.
And I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the Board of Directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast, looking to put together a mostly dry Wednesday here after moisture tried to work through the state yesterday. Now, we do have some pesky lingering cloud cover and some on-again, off-again showers to start the day down near the Ohio River. Watch this area closely. It's probably going to be the first place to see a resurgence of activity later this afternoon. As a matter of fact, southwest Indiana, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be dry probably through 1 to 2 p.m., and then our next wave of moisture starts to work in. Central and northern Indiana, I think I can give you the entire day that is going to be precipitation-free. Now, through the evening and overnight, that's when our next wave really gets going here. Through tomorrow, we are going to be seeing that rain continue. I'm going to say at this point, a quarter to 1 inch of additional moisture can fall from late tonight right on through tomorrow. We're finally done by near sunrise on Friday morning. The Friday period looks to feature clouds and sunshine, but I don't think we're quite done with precipitation. I wouldn't be surprised to see another few spits and sprinkles try and come in as this system is trying to exit completely, going from the sunset hours on Friday right on through midnight Saturday morning. Going through the weekend then, Saturday turns out partly sunny, Sunday mostly sunny. High pressure wants to set up just to our north over Michigan. Then that high pressure dome wants to sit there pretty much all week next week. I'm looking for us to be mostly dry all week long. There is some heat-based scattered shower activity that wants to kind of fire off around the rim of this high. So southern Indiana, southern Ohio, those areas near the Ohio River may see some on-again, off-again clouds through the week and maybe the odd renegade shower or two, but I don't think it's a rain event that stops any kind of progress. And this dry weather can go all the way into the following week, the week of the 12th. Our next weather system may not be able to get in here until closer to the 14th. That is Wednesday. So again, we're penciling in a long-term dry pattern after the rains get done this week. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
At Beacon Credit Union, we're not just lenders. We're your trusted partners. We listen, advise, and support your financial success. Whether expanding your farm, upgrading equipment, purchasing real estate, needing operating funds, or refinancing existing debt, we're here for you. start at beaconcu.org. Insured by ASI, not federally insured, EHO lender.
Every piece of equipment tells a story. The combine that helped build a family farm. The excavator that shaped communities. These aren't just machines. They're chapters in someone's journey. At Purple Wave Auction, we understand that selling your equipment means trusting us with your legacy. And when you're buying, you're not just getting a machine. You're becoming part of this continuing story. From farm to farm, job site to job site, we help write the next chapter. Purple Wave Auction, the easiest and most straightforward way to buy and sell equipment.
An across-the-board sell-off for the ag markets. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Tuesday Farm Market Review. I'm Ian DeEubank, and the markets are powered by Purple Wave Auction. Purple Wave makes buying and selling used ag equipment easy. For more information, visit purplewave.com. Final numbers coming up. We'll begin with market analysis from Arlen Suderman. I spoke with him at StoneX at the end of trade. It's double-digit losses across corn and beans, almost double digits down in the wheat market as well. So we had some liquidation on Tuesday, weakness throughout the trading session, although, Arlen, I do believe wheat did work the high side for a brief period of time. But overall, a negative tone, primarily coming from where in your view?
Oh, I think it really got started with the soy oil and soybean market and then spread to corn and kind of dragged wheat down with it, particularly late in the day, with most of those markets finishing the day near the bottom of the session or near the session lows. I think the primary, there are two factors primarily here. One is there had been a focus on the positive in the soybean complex, on expectations among some in the investment world that we would get an updated biomass diesel production mandate reported by the end of last week that would be supportive for soy oil use. That did not come. Now, we've been expecting it later in May, and I think that's a general expectation, but the investment world heard rumors that it might be last week. It did not come, and so they gave up on that. The absence of that supportive factor allowed traders to focus on what are the fundamentals, and right now the fundamentals for soybeans are we have a big crop being harvested in South America that's hitting the world market, so our export demand is declining. We still have questions about our domestic demand, and we're planting the crop. With the planting progress report came out yesterday, we're planting the crop at a very fast pace, about 10 points ahead of the five-year average for this time of year, and that tends to lead to big yields. So sell-off in soy oil and soybeans translated into selling off of corn, double-digit losses there as well for similar reasons, and then dragging wheat along with it.
And still no trade deals or fresh news that might be supportive in any way.
Oh, that's true. Although, as we were just preparing to talk, the wire services were saying that the White House says they do have a trade deal completed, but they're not giving us the details or the name of the country yet until they finish kind of ironing out the final details. So it does look like we're making progress. But Trump's 100-day in office, to this point, we still have a lot of uncertainty in the tariff war. That uncertainty creating fears of recession globally and decreased demand for commodities. So he really needs to start seeing some of those wins with trade deals announced.
There was talk on Tuesday morning that maybe closest to a deal with any country would be India. Do you suspect that could be the country that we're talking about here? And what impact does that have potentially for the corn, soybean, and wheat markets?
Yeah, the two countries named India and Japan, and I'd rather see it be Japan. But with India, it was mostly straight tariffs that were being negotiated, which makes the negotiations easier. And that's why Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said earlier today that makes it quicker and easier to get a deal with India. With Possible commodities there, perhaps some wheat going to India, even though they're major producers, they've been running short, production's been running short of consumption. And so that could impact, even though the quantities might not be big, it could have a big impact on our balance sheet if in fact that were to happen. And so that'd be the first place where I would look.
We do have a Corn Belt week of some rain possibilities here the rest of this week, at least through Friday. Any chance that that could impact the markets as we look at possible planting delays, or has progress been just too good at this point?
Progress has been too good for the market to worry about delays at this point, particularly when the current outlook, you know how that can change, but the current outlook beyond this week is looking much drier. And I think the bigger concern going forward is, does May dry out and then continue to be dry into June? That's what I hear forecasters talking about at this time. But the early planting of soybeans, I think in particular, tends to lead to higher yields. And that's something that the market is focused on right now.
Arlen Suderman there, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX. On the Hat Tuesday, Farm Market Review, 15 cents lower for May corn, ending right near the low, 13 cents down on July, 470 and a quarter. And December dips to 444 and a half, losing a nickel and three quarters. 11 cents lower, May beans, 1041. July 10.52 and three quarters down 9 3/4. Novi 9.5 lower 10.25 and a quarter. And May wheat 5.05 and three quarters down 9 3/4. July 5.25 and a half, a nickel and a half down. The meats end mixed. June live cattle 210.20 up 60 cents. June lean hogs 99.45 down $1.55. I'm Andy Eubank with the Tuesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.